So we have several readings today. The first comes from Exodus, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. And then when I'm done with the first reading, we're going to sing As the Deer, which is found on page 6 of your, not of your pew Bibles, on in your booklets. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, and this is on page 118 of your pew Bibles. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Next reading can be found in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, which can be found on page 1514 in your pew Bibles. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the last reading comes from Mark 2, 23, and we're going to be reading through chapter 3, verse 6, which is on page 1555 of your pew Bibles. Lord of the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.' Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in an anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." Thanks be to God for his word.
Let us pray. Lord, open our minds and our hearts to hear your word and to apply it to our lives today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you are driving or driving with someone on the highway, especially like on an interstate or a tollway, there's these huge billboards, right? And most of the time, I don't pay attention to the billboards, but this past week, there was one that really caught my attention. It was one of those billboards that changes. And it was really kind of a low day for me. I was very anxious and worried and troubled. And the first verse or the first board came up like this, the message. And it was from John 14, 6. And I thought, they're advertising a scripture? And that was great. It said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," words of Jesus. And I didn't catch who was sponsoring that board. But then the next board came on about 10 seconds later, and it said, "Stress less, live more." And that morning, I was kind of stressing more and living less. But how about this morning? Sabbath keeping rest. You know, what does that mean for you, for me, on this day? How can we stress less and really live more? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Many of us have learned the Ten Commandments many years ago, and this is the fourth of the commandments. But what about this Sabbath and this day of rest, this period of rest? Is it a specific time, a special time, to express to God our praise, our thanks, confessions? Is it only during a service time? Is it only on a Sunday or another day? And what are the dimensions of rest? Now you're thinking, there are a number of scriptures that Matt read. We're not going to be here for hours, but think about that for a few moments. You know, what does it really mean? The first description of the Sabbath really comes from the seventh day of creation, from the book of Genesis, where God rested. The Almighty stopped from forming more of the creation. And the word rested comes from the same root, which means to stop, to cease from rest. And this word, too, comes from the Hebrew root, which means the word Sabbath. Does the Lord really need to rest? I really don't think so. But God ceased from creating on that day and gives us the example of really of resting. From the Lord's Day, from the Heidelberg Catechism, question 103, what does the Lord require in the fourth commandment? And this was written centuries ago. First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor. And then secondarily, that all the days of my life I cease from evil works and yield myself to the Lord, to work by his Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. And that last part I really like to focus in on. That says a lot, that whole meaning, but that last part. Now that was a crucial observance of the Sabbath by the Jewish community back in the days and through the centuries. Unfortunately, as many with the Jewish faith and the Christian faith, added rules were put on that weren't really the intent of the commandments. Now, centuries following the giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses and the Israelites, there's a couple situations that Jesus comes into confrontation with the Pharisees. First of all, the disciples and that himself, they're walking through the grain fields. And it's on the Sabbath, and they're picking grain, not to work, but just to have food. And then Jesus gives the example of King David and his soldiers years ago, that they needed to do that. And then there's a man in the synagogue on the Sabbath that came with a shriveled hand, a withered hand, and he was asking for healing, and Jesus healed him. And the Pharisees are looking at that and saying, that's not right. That's not what really the Sabbath is all about. A friend of mine and her husband were living in Tel Aviv, Israel, some years ago, which is one of the most Jewish of the major cities in Israel. In their neighborhood, between sunset on Friday and sunset on Saturday was radically different than the other days of the week. They said everything was closed. Everything. The markets, restaurants, movie theaters, no buses. And then they thought for a while. They felt their options were limited, but then they thought after a few months, it began to feel like a gift of rest. We can also think of the blue laws in Bergen County and elsewhere, a restriction of the regular business week. But for many, it's not a Sabbath. You know, they're shopping in other places. Maybe I have another job on Sunday. And so it's just a hectic 24/7. Mark says Jesus and his disciples were walking through the grain fields, and they began plucking up grain and eating it, as I mentioned before. You know, and that was seen as an act of work by the Pharisees. And that was one of their many laws, is that, nope, you can't do that. You got to stop that. Then in the next account, in the synagogue, they saw the healing of the man with the shriveled hand. But that wasn't to be done either, healing. The religious rituals and interpretation even prevented the healing of someone, that of completeness and of wholeness. And Jesus went on to say, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And then Christ continued, so the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is that. His lordship. Sometimes people say to me, I don't need to go to church. I can worship God and pray to God on my boat, on the beach, or wherever. And I listen and I say, well, that's true. You can. But there's something about coming together as a community of faith together and praising God, of asking God for his guidance and help, and prayer requests that come from the community that we don't get individually, or that we get on a boat, or we get on a beach, or wherever. But how about that Sabbath-keeping rest for us today? We started off by reading from Ecclesiastes, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every manner under heaven." Remember that? A time for this, a time for that. You know, there's a rhythm of life. And too often, I know myself and many people I come into contact with have lost that rhythm of life. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to officiate at a wedding right down the street in Lafayette, Magliarusso's. And it was a small wedding. It was downstairs. And they had a dance floor. And I thought, oh, that means dancing, most likely. I do not have rhythm at all. And I like it when the lights are really down low and there's a lot of people on the dance floor. Because, again, last night I was dancing. And first of all, I'm really out of the loop with the music. I'd say the first 40 songs, I knew like three of them. And then they started playing like some of the Beatles things and, you know, some of those group dancing things, you know, like YMCA and other things. So I thought, I can get up, I can do that, I can jump around. But I don't have that rhythm. I don't have that rhythm. And Linda's, you know, I'm dancing with her or trying to, and I'm somewhere in between Elaine from Seinfeld, remember? She could not dance very well. And then Patty Duke. And some of you don't remember Patty Duke's show. I mean, she was kind of flopping all around. But the rhythm, I really don't have that rhythm. And Linda even said to me last night, Tom, you got to lighten up. You got to kind of go with the flow of that. So anyway, you know, it was a joy to be at that wedding. And the lights were down kind of low in that when I went on the dance floor. But rhythm, the rhythm of life. You know, Jesus is talking about that rhythm of life. God and his creation, you know, knows that we need to really rest. And what does that rest really mean for you and for me? And how can we really have that rhythm? You know, sometimes we can lose that. We can be very busy. Even on Sundays, we can kind of go from here or there. And is that really the rest that the Lord wants? What does that connection really mean? Matt read from Matthew chapter 11, words of Jesus, where he says, "Come unto me, all who labor, and I will give you rest." You know, that rest that Jesus is talking about isn't inactivity. It isn't what I would like to think is that peace, but it's that sense of God's presence and God's peace that's with us. And to have that connection and reconnection with God, not only on a special sacred day, whether it's Saturday or Sunday or another time, but throughout our day, it's more than just an hour, as Matt was saying. It's that continual relationship, that continual connection with God in our lives. You might remember in the upper room, Jesus reminded his followers then and throughout time that peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. And he said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You know, sometimes I can understand that, sometimes I can grasp that, and other times I can't. Life is not always easy, many times not, much of the time. My self-centeredness, the sins, too often cloud the very presence of the living God. And during Lent, it's one opportunity to kind of step back. It's one opportunity to kind of say, all right, Tom, or whatever our name is, you know, what do we really need? How can we get that connection? How can we get that reconnection with God in a greater way? As Pastor Chris mentioned and Henry last week, I'll be going on a sabbatical mid-January through mid-April of 2016. And as I plan that with the committee and thinking that through and praying that, you know, what do I really need? What does the congregation really need at this time? I look up at a banner. I haven't seen that in a while. But those who hope in the Lord or wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, to be renewed, to have that reconnection with God. A friend of mine is a Christian psychologist, author out in Southern California, Dr. David Stoop. And he wrote this in his blog recently. He said, I got a whole different perspective on the Sabbath as I watched a large group of soldiers celebrate at the Western Wall in Jerusalem. And here are some of my ideas of what I want to do. And he goes on. For starters, based on my being challenged to make one day in seven different from the other 6 days, my wife and I had already bought a beautiful large candle that we call the Sabbath candle. That was even before my conversations with the soldiers in Jerusalem. We had good intentions, but I still had those somber Sabbath memories to fight. So we also decided that one of the ways that we could make the Sabbath more celebratory was to schedule family gatherings on Sunday. At least once a month, we gather for brunch at one or two local restaurants or meet at our house for a barbecue. It's a time to celebrate our family. I remember reading Abraham Heschel, one of the famous Jewish writers, who wrote a book on the Sabbath. In it, he said that when we honor the Sabbath, it is like we are building castles in time. I like that, castles in time. I think he included in the castle building the creation of memories and great celebrations together. He also said that when we honor the Sabbath, we are saying that we are in control of our time rather than having our time control us. That was, I believe, God's intent when he instituted the Sabbath in Scripture. To rest, to kind of step back. You know, we're going 24/7 so much of the time. You know, if I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I can go out to 7-Eleven or Quick Check and get a cup of coffee or something like that. People are working around the clock and some jobs that you need to do that. But it's almost like a cycle of things that we kind of wonder what really is going on. Did you ever say this or have somebody say this? Just don't sit there, do something, right? At times I thought, well, maybe that's better than just sit there. You're still doing something. Maybe you're not doing what that person wants you to do, but to sit there, to really, really reflect on God's greatness. So I thought, well, what are a few points that we can focus in on? First of all, start in smaller ways, you know, thinking about that rest, thinking about the Sabbath rest, whether it's on a Sunday or other time. Just being where you are and who you are. A time to worship, you know, taking quietness and stillness before God. And Pastor Chris, I really have appreciated some of those times in worship of late. You know, so much, you know, we want to kind of maybe rush through things instead of just kind of taking time to really ponder what God is trying to say. Patterns are hard to break, and it's a discipline and a willingness to want to do that, to slow down. Remember that song, Slow Down, You're Moving Too Fast? I was thinking about that and then driving this past week, and then someone kind of cut in front of me, and I'm beeping the horn. I'm thinking, Tom, maybe you need to slow down. You know, but slow down. To take time to really smell the roses, so to speak. The snow is finally away, right? Just about. I know the Kaisers are going to a warm climate. Pastor Chris is going to a warm climate, too. He's going to be inside for the most part, so that really doesn't count. But spring is here, almost, at least technically it is, you know, where things are blossoming. They've been blossoming already, the buds, but that new life is out there. But to slow down, to listen to God, to focus more on Him and what He wants, and to see the larger and bigger picture of life. Too often we're kind of micromanaging life and still, instead of seeing what else is out there. What is God calling me to do beyond my own limited perspective? And that all life is really holy and sacred, not just Sunday, not just Saturday, but all time. You know, you think about Sabbath keeping rest, it goes beyond just 1 hour of worship, whenever that is, but how can my life be more of a commitment to God in a greater way? In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about presenting our lives as a living sacrifice to God, and not to be conformed by the world, but be transformed by His Spirit. But the church, too, restricts sometimes people, thinking that you have to act in a certain way to be Christian or to be closer to God. And Jesus calls people out to experience the very presence of the living God, and even to break different patterns that have been existing before. To rest, again, as I'm saying, not inactivity, but really an activity that connects us with the great Spirit of God. William Barclay, in his commentary on the book of Matthew, says about the words of Jesus, "Come unto me, all you are weighted down beneath your burdens." It is said that the Orthodox Jew, then, religion was a thing of burdens. Jesus said to the scribes and to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the community, "They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders." To the Jewish religion was one thing of endless rules for some. You shall not do this and not do that. Beyond the Ten Commandments, man-made rules to try to enforce following God. And again, I could probably add that Christians, we try to make up rules too. But Jesus continues to say and invites people to take his yoke upon his shoulders. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So where are you this morning? Where am I? How can we experience that Sabbath rest? Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, but I have come to not abolish them, but to fulfill them." That Jesus came to give us life in all abundance right now as well as eternally. That Sabbath rest also in the scriptures talks about the future and in God's presence in that next adventure after this one is over. But Jesus also talks about his presence and care with us right now. William Barclay experienced some deep sadness in his life. And in his autobiography, Testament of Faith, he tells about a situation. He says, without denying the historical accuracy of the gospel, he says, for example, Jesus stilled the storm of the Sea of Galilee. And he said, Jesus also stills the storms that rage in human hearts today. When the interviewer asked Dr. Barclay how he came to such a view, he said, "I told him some years ago our 21-year-old daughter and the lad to whom she was someday to have married were both drowned. That God did not stop that accident at sea, but he did still the storm in my own heart so that somehow my wife and I came through that terrible time still on our own two feet." An extremely difficult and trying circumstance by any imagination. But maybe you and I are experiencing those times. Maybe we're at a crossroads, wondering about the Lord's presence and care. Sometimes we take a few steps forward and then we take a few steps back. But hopefully we're moving towards what God wants in our lives and greater peace. That Sabbath rest, you know, what does that mean for you? You know, here we are worshiping God together. That's vitally important. But how can we go from this place to experience that rest and that true peace that we long for? Much of my ministry is visiting people in the hospitals, homes, and it's so important, I think, to really have people acknowledge and realize that God's presence is with them at any time. And I think about your calls, your visits too, your contact with people. It's so vitally important, just being there to listen, to show God's love, and for people to experience that type of respite, that type of rest, even in their trying, difficult situations, to really know that God is present. Finding that rest, that carrying each other's burdens, in that way fulfilling the law of Christ. That we press on from this place in just a few minutes. You know, what are you experiencing right now? How can you have that rest, that Sabbath rest that Jesus is talking about throughout the week? You know, what is it for you? What is it for me? How can we really experience that? How can we take that to a deeper, deeper level? You know, how can we go beyond just the surface of things? One of my experiences that I really don't want to ever go through again is ice fishing. I hate ice fishing. You know, as I think about the spring, I just hate ice fishing. And I've had one experience, that's it. It was back in either Illinois or Wisconsin. I went with my stepfather and a friend of his. And you know how you have those, you have to walk out for like a mile, it seems, out in the lake. And they had like this little tent that they set up. And only like one person can get in there. And you drill these holes in the ice. And I was in that little tent all the time. And they were kind of yelling at me, "Get out, Tom. Give somebody else a chance to be in there." But the depth of that, too, we didn't catch any fish either. That was another thing. You're out there for hours and hours. But the depth, you know, that goes below that ice, which might be that deep, you know, and there's a depth in each one of us, too. And we have to allow God to really kind of get down through that ice of us to kind of de-ice us, to kind of get that hole and then get down in the water. There's life down there. There's fish down there. We didn't experience any fish. But even in that winter time, even in that coldness, that there's new life. And there's life in each one of us. And to have that Spirit of God come alive, not only in us, but in other people. And that God uses you, God uses me in many ways to have that happen, whether it's on the Sabbath day or whether it's another day during the week. Let us pray together. Lord, I might be rambling on, but I know that it's only you that can provide that Sabbath-keeping rest that we all need. Lord, what do we each need to do to experience more of your living presence in us and through us? So, Lord, help us to take whatever message that you want to have us experience your grace and your love in fuller ways and to be your disciples wherever we're at this upcoming week and in our lives ahead. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.